Once again, we're sitting here with Caleb Dunaway, who writes for Otaku USA Magazine, who was specifically hired when it turned out none of us liked moe shows, and so there was an open call for submissions from people who actually like moe. I don't know if I'm not allowed to say it publicly, but I think that it was pretty public, that kind of announcement.
It was in the mail section. It was in the mail section, and in the print issue, and I think actually a friend pointed it out to me, they're looking for moe writers. I'm like, oh. Well, I'll just send something in there. How do I send it in there? Just that email address. And I was like, oh. So I sent something else that I'd written somewhere else, and I it was edited out and just printed out. Obviously, I didn't think it was going to get run in the actual magazine. Like, that was the shock. I was like, what? K. Ransom of Welcome Datacom, he pointed it out. He got the issue and pointed it out to me like 1 a.m. on a spring break night, and I was just like, you're kidding. He was like, he just messaged me and said, congratulations. I was like, what? And he explained it to me, and I was like,
That was how I
discovered, yeah.
Oh, so that's how you discovered that you were hired.
Yeah, I hadn't picked up the issue yet, and so it had just come out a couple weeks ago. I hadn't had a chance to go run out and pick it up, and he picked it up and told me, and I was like, what? So I ran out the very next day before, I think it was before work, and I just picked it up.
So you submitted an article, a test article, and then it was printed in the actual magazine, and you didn't know it was going to...
Yeah, I submitted it to Macy's. I was thinking he was going to read it from his email, and then respond to me from that way. So I put way more information that I really wanted to put in there to begin with, where I lived and not my address, but my city that I live. And it was it comes back, and I'm just he ran the whole thing. I thought he was going to email me back. So I was worried the whole 2 months. He's not going to email me back. But it was just when I never got back. I was like, oh, I guess I didn't get it. And then all of a sudden, this comes out of nowhere. I was like, what? Oh. And even then, I had to go through Daryl just to get the Lucky Star article that I had first. So
you're I guess I got the job in that case. So because you are a known liker of moe, this
are you now or have you ever been? Yeah, well, let's talk moe then. Now... we are not very well versed in moe as a genre, I think. So tell us about it. Tell us what you look for. What's the difference between a good moe show and a bad moe show?
Well, first I have to clarify that I've actually come to the point where I'm just I'm not even going to use the term moe ever again, because I kind of see it as now as it kind of just that conversation enders. Once that word gets mentioned sometimes, I kind of feel it's just, the conversation's gone down to the point these days where it's just nobody's going to be able to get anywhere near. It would depend on, all of it depends on what you expect it to be. I mean, I don't think of it as a genre so much. I think of it as something that is created in reaction to something that is there on the inside the series is the way I see it. It's not like a This is why you don't want to actually discuss the definition, because nobody agrees with the definition.
how would you define it? I presume you're
Well, it's not a very easy one to put in words.
Right, I kind of get it, because it's something everyone debates about the definition, but when it comes to knowing what a moe show is, it's if you see the artwork, in general, people are like, okay, that looks like a moe show. It might not be. In terms of something like Lucky Star, Lucky Star kind of ran in a magazine where it seems like it's sort of a moe thing, but they're not cute enough, really. But I mean, I still like it. Or I know that K-On! Is on that level, but I think it's okay.
The thing is, I don't think moe is a design style. It's not an artistic style. It is definitely not. And it's not even necessarily a character design style. It's just a reaction, I think, some people will have to a character in this series. Now, what happens and what's happened now is kind of that people have picked up on certain levels of things, that will generate certain responses, and that has gotten simplified down to the tsundere archetypes, the yandere archetypes, those kind of archetypes, the archetypical characters that everybody knows about, the childhood friend, the not really childhood friend, but what's all the weird archetypes that you see people talk about on 4chan or something. You're just what are they talking about? Why do they care about this stuff? And it's I know Carl on Okay Maniacs, he translated an article at one point in time where actually from an actual a Japanese guy, and he talked about how labeling someone as moe, it was about Fujoshi Moe, and how labeling someone as moe labeling someone as moe was like an act of violence. Like it was reducing somebody, a character or even a person, down to like a basic trait. Like if you say someone's tsundere, then that's like you're giving them a label. That's how their personality has to react. And I don't think all fans who might use the term moe all believe in the same system, even those who don't. Like it's really hard because there's just not. I don't think there's enough of a consensus of meaning. There is a consensus of meaning, but no one knows what it is. Because everyone has different consensuses of the same meaning, and they're all different. If that makes any sense. Which is the hard part I find about discussing it, because it's always like, when somebody says, well, what do you think is a good moe show? And I look at them and I'm like, well, I would probably label shows moe that nobody else would. So...
Such as...
I know Ed Chavez once talked about like a difference between how Americans use the term moe and how Japanese use the term moe. Like Americans, I think it's kind of gotten actually skewed down to where it just basically does just mean like a certain character archetype design style. Maybe in America it does work that way. In Japan, I'm not so. I mean, I'm just going by Ed Chavez from Vertical, what he says about that, and like it is a more like a general just term. Like you can be. I think you can actually, he actually said that you can actually be like moe for trains or moe for something. And it's just, what he defined it as is something is that just like wants to keep you going through something. So it's like, and he would also like list like Kenshiro from Hokuto no Ken as moe in different ways. And I know Carl has done that on Okubi Maniacs as well. Like he's promoted the idea that, you know, Kenshiro is a very moe character. And like the first time he told me, I was like, I haven't really seen much of Hokuto no Ken, but I'm pretty sure you're right. Like it was just, I know you're right, and he explained the theory to me. I was like, yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, there's also like jokes going around. Like I've seen people refer to Kaiji from, you know, Gambling Apocalypse Kaiji as moe, or is that the Akagi? Gambling Apocalypse Kaiji. I don't know, that was the translation. Kaiji. Kaiji's a different one.
Yes, yes.
Kaiji's the one with the restricted rock paper scissors.
Indeed.
Yes. So. Yes, I've seen it. It's great. I have seen it. It's great. It is great. But I'm thinking it was Gambling Apocalypse. Or is that supposed to be Akagi? Akagi is like the demon who descended from the darkness. Like, I've not seen Akagi. I've only seen Kaiji. So it's, yeah. Kaiji was just like, whoa, boy. I just get to the reason it is because like he gets up there and he gets crying and emotional all the time. Like, you know, no, the world sucks. They're taking away all my money. You know, and you're being a jerk. And so people kind of can resonate with that kind of thing. I don't know. I think it might just be a joke. It makes sense to me. I don't know if I can explain it.
What is the shirt that you're wearing right now?
I'm actually wearing a shirt right now of Fuko from Clannad, which probably completely defeats everything I just said about anything that I just said. But that's because I'm vaguely horrible. What? Yeah, this is actually a Cospa one. I had to have it imported a while ago, and like yesterday I wore a Dino Coil shirt that just had like the code formulas on it, and that was pretty neat. I like that one, was one of my favorites. But this one's actually just, it's just Fuko Sancho. She's arrived with her starfish to like, I don't know, fight crime, be useless, which most people think she did, but I don't care because I like that. But like it is a starfish. Her whole character like revolved around like, she was obsessed with starfish. She would carve them for no apparent reason. There were invitations to her sister's wedding because she was in a coma, but that's okay. She's Fuko. I don't care.
But I think when American fans say, "Oh, it's a moe show," they're talking about Clannad.
Yeah, that does happen. And the thing is that I think that the weird thing is that I think I watch Clannad a lot differently than I did than I think other people have. And canon too, and it's like, and I don't know if that's just because I think it's different when it's really not, but like other people, like they really liked it, and I watched it and I was like, this is a really good show, but it's like I kind of watched it more, like it hit me more better as a comedy than it did anything else for me. Like Lucky Star, like everybody's like, oh, Lucky Star is a hilarious show, and I was just like, this is like more of like a relaxing thing to sit down and like watch and just like decompress after like a 12-hour day of work, which is sometimes what you need to do. But like K-On! Was the same way. Like people were going all against K-On! And I was just like, it's just a relaxing show. Like, calm down, people.
My horrible comparison is I watched a lot of Lucky Star when I was really badly hungover. And because we started to watch, I was like, okay, all I can do is really sit here. All right, I'll watch some anime. And we started to watch Gurren Lagann. Gurren Lagann, but there was too much movement, and I'm like, this is just making me feel sick. And so then we watched Lucky Star, where nothing was really moving, and I, it was, yeah. Or I've also watched, I've watched K-On! In a similar way, where I'm like, okay, well, there's not going to be ridiculous camera pans. I think I can handle this. Good if you have a wasting disease or recently recovered from a coma.
Well, it's not that bad. Like, I found them like a warmly funny kind of thing. I mean, it wasn't something that was like excessively, like, I really don't like some of the, like, the really crazy out there things. Like, for some apparent reason, I've never been able to like Penny Funny Dash, which everybody else loves, and it's like I can't get into it. It's just too hyper. It's too Excel Saga ish, which I'm probably gonna get, I don't know, trolled for that now. But I've never, after a while, I just stopped being able to watch the crazy hyper shows. I don't know why. And some of those are some of what wind up being, like, classified as moe shows. Quotation mark, finger shaking things going on here. But it's like,
Wait, so, okay. I just changed topic away from this. But, so you work in a library?
That's a really sharp subject change there. I thought we were talking about me just about anything. I mean, we can talk about moe more if you want to.
You're the one person, I think, with whom we can discuss moe. You being an expert on the subject.
And not want to punch in the face, right.
And not want to punch in the face. Well, no, I don't think there's anyone else we have in our circle with whom we can discuss moe. So we have you here. But we haven't been able to come to any sort of conclusion about what it is. Can you sort of explain, before we talk about other aspects of your life, can you say what it's not? Can you say what it excludes?
That might be easier than what it is, because what it is just a huge complex mess. For me, and I'm going to clarify this specifically with for me, I don't see it as any kind of like superficial trait. Like, it is not necessarily something that is superficial to me, but I don't know. I mean, it's like, I will like characters that other people go around that say, and they will say, oh, that's so moe, or that's so like that. And to me, it's just like, oh, she's just cute. And it's different. And I think usually what I will wind up referring to, like, in a kind of, what I would have referred to as in a moe sense would actually have been something that would have actually emotionally affected me, like, to, like, a great degree.
But in that respect, like, we get very emotional watching My Neighbor Totoro. But it's not, I don't think it's a moe emotion. I don't think so either.
And I don't, do I have moe for Totoro? Do I have burning passion? I don't think so. But it makes me perhaps a little concerned even to hear that, do I have moe for space? It's probably closer to moe. But it kind of concerns me to hear that anything, any emotional evocation could be equivocated with moe, because that's not what I think.
Because any really good entertainment should elicit an emotional reaction, even if it's not a very strong one. So it seems like bad entertainment, there's no emotional response.
Who said moe was bad?
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not, but I think...
I mean, it's... This is why I said it was complicated. Sure. It's a very... That's the reason I have stopped trying to use the term so much, because it is just such a broad spectrum thing. That's like... How do I... I'm freaking you out, aren't I, Noah?
No. Not the slightest, but let's go to the heart of the matter. Is it or can it be sexual?
That is the eternal question. Unfortunately, I think the answer might be 42. It is not necessary. It's not a sufficient or necessary condition to be moe, I don't think, to have any kind of sexual element. It is not a necessary or sufficient condition. Like, you do not need it to have moe, I think. Like, it does not need to be there. It can, I think, but I don't think it is necessary or even a sufficient condition. Which I know gets people confused, because they're what they see listed as moe is also, you wind up getting things off on the side. It's like, wait a second, you know, it's like the whole Kanagi thing, where everybody was flipping out over Nagi not being a virgin, even though of the fact that there were quite a lot of images on the internet at that point in time, showing Nagi in rather virginally challenged positions. So it's like, what's the deal there? And I don't know. And I think that it, particular incident was just a few small people making a fuss that just blossomed to a big meme on 2chan. But I don't know. So
which show is this now? What I we it was like I a don't meme. Know.
Oh, I know.
That was Kaneki. Like there was this. It was Kaneki, and like people, they threw a hissy fit at the mangaka. I can't remember her name right now. But like she worked with Type Moon. I knew that much. Like she was an artist for at Type Moon, and like she has now gone off and done this manga, like, which is running Comic Rex, I think. And what happened was that a chapter came out. Like, this is after the anime had started, and a chapter had come out. And, like, in this chapter, it was revealed that, like, earlier on in history, Nagi had had a husband. Or had had a, I think it was actually she'd had a child. That was what it was. And then people were, like, freaked out by this. And everybody I knew was like, what are they talking about? Why are they going crazy? Like, nobody understood this. Like, I think the Japanese actually were just, like, taking a prank and running with it. Like, somebody threw a hissy fit. They were like, oh, that's funny. Let's make fun of that. And then they just go on and on. Like the whole thing of people ripping the manga apart because she was no longer a virgin. Like, it was, that's a weird kind of more, like, gender identity kind of issue, I think, to me. But it's like we're sitting here thinking, and like I said, it's like, they're doing this in the midst of, like, there being other people in the same fandom, on the same sites, you know, drawing virginally challenged images of her. So it's just like, what's the hang up there?
Maybe it's because it was official and all the other images are just like doujin images, unless they're by the manga author. But no, they're not. They weren't. So because it became canon that she wasn't a virgin anymore, there was a big internet freak out, which may have been overinflated.
I mean, after that happened, like, you know, the mangaka, I still can't remember her name. Somebody has to remember her name. She had to take a break. Like, she apparently fell ill. Like, she could not actually move out of her bed. We don't know whether this was, like, a lie or something. Like, but it was just, like, she just took the next month off from that. Whether to recuperate, re-strategize, or whether, because she literally speaking, apparently from all sources, she was actually ill. Like, she was bedridden for, like, weeks. Is what happened. Like, I think she fell on the stairs. I don't know if she fell on the stairs or if it was just, yeah, there was something really bad going on there. But it's like, I don't know what happened. Like, if you watch Kaneki, there's like, there is some, but there's not like a whole lot of that element in there. Like, it's more just a comedy. I'm not making any sense to Noah, I'm sure.
Fast Karate for the Gentleman is a podcast by a couple stupid jerks who shouldn't even be allowed on the internet, much less have a podcast.
But, Gerald. Sorry, Gerald doesn't know who you are. He's just like, Caleb, who the heck is that? Sorry. So Daryl's question is, anime gay jitsu, more like, here, I'll let you.
Gay jitsu, yeah, something like that. The reason that I have that as my blog title was a typo. It was rather hilarious. Like, I typoed the domain name, and I didn't really realize it. But I registered. It's a WordPress domain, and it's like I had registered. And by the time that I realized I'd made a typo, I was like, "Ah, crap! It's jutsu. It's gay jutsu." Like, I was mad because I was at the time that I started the blog. I was doing a project in class for like Okuma Taro, which is where the name comes from. Anime Baka Hatsuda. Like, his big slogan was "Gay Jutsu wa Baka Hatsuda, Arch and Explosion." Which has been referenced, and like he's been referenced like countless times throughout countless anime series. Like, I mean, he was like a surrealist artist, and he was referenced countless. Like, Shinbo references him all the time. Like, if you watch any of his series, especially post Pony Pony Dash, like you're going to have somewhere in there a Taro reference. I mean, like, Kitamari Sketch referenced him in the opening song. Like, in the extended version opening song, they actually say "Geijutsu wa Baka Hatsuda." They actually sing that, I think in Negima !! There's actually a scene. My friend actually showed me a scene. Like, he was watching it, and he showed me a scene. Like, oh look, it's the Tower of the Sun. And there's a point in one of the series. They had like the characters run around like they were Link in a Legend of Zelda game. And like one of the rooms is this Tower of the Sun that he's, which is one of his big famous sculptures. Yeah.
We went to the Tower of the Sun. I made a really big deal about it. I think it's important to explain it more on the podcast, though, where it was during... They built it for Expo 1970? Or was it 1960? Expo 70?
Somewhere,
I think it's 70.
I think it's...
So, because that's also really important in 20th Century Boys, where a lot of events, like, happen around... But, like, they built the Expo Hall around it, and it's supposed to be primitivist art, like going back before Japan was conquered by anyone.
Yeah, I think 20th Century Boys also did a little bit of referencing. Like, I can't really justify this so much, but like, I know Taro was big into like the occult and stuff. Like, I had to draw this up because I can only figure this out because I found a picture of him related to like the occult thing where he had on his hand like an eye, on his, and it was just like the eye and the friend hand, and so it was like, whoa, that's kind of weird, like.
Because Expo 1970 was a big turning point, and it's an important mark for otaku in a way, because it was like a technological thing of, you know, showing off of technology and Japan moving into the future, and there's also like this consumer aspect of it. But so a lot of otaku culture goes back to always this moment at Expo 1970. Anyway, so what is it? Geijutsu, it's a reference?
Yeah, well, it was a reference to Taro's big slogan. Like he was a very exciting person. Like he really recharged like the whole, like in the post-war world, he really recharged Japan. Like, you know, he was just like he did research like way back into the Jomon cultures, which all his art is like inspired from like Jomon culture kind of things. And it's like he did research back there. He published works of anthropology about the Jomon culture and, you know, very early Japan culture, like Ainu, pre-Ainu, that kind of thing. He did early stuff, like he reunited Japan with their legacy, which is why he's enduringly popular, and everybody loved him, and he was a really kind of crazy guy. Like, and his slogan was Geijutsu wa Bakuhatsuda, which is art is an explosion. And this was referenced actually in Naruto. I don't actually know this from watching it, but I know the character in Naruto who actually is basically just a giant Okamoto Taro reference. Like, he throws clay pots that are shaped like the Tower of the Sun that explode. Geijutsu wa Bakuhatsuda is his slogan in that thing. So people, I'm just sure some people think it's like a Naruto reference, which it's not. But it's like, but the domain name I typo with an I instead of a U there, which just, when I figured it out, I was like, oh, crap. And then I realized, wait. Gei is the kanji that means art. And jitsu is the kanji that means truth. And this is how I got confused with it, because I was going shinjitsu, geijutsu, and I got those confused somehow. So what wound up happening was that I was like, oh, it's just true art. So I just portmanteaued a word out of nowhere. I made it up. I don't even know if that's the right reading or not, but I just made it up. Yeah. It's a smoothing over. It's like, I meant to do that kind of thing. I Freudian meant to do that.
I am actually interested in what capacity that you work in a library.
Right now, I'm just a page, which is like the very bottom level kind of thing, where it's like I've been shelving, but I've worked there 9 years. Like, I've been there 9 years. I started there when I was 16, and it's like I have had that job since then. Like, this is my ninth year. Actually, was just had like public library. Yeah, I work in, it's a public library. I'm going to school right now for library science. I just graduated my undergraduate degree in history. Is what it is. Like, I probably know more about, like, library science than I would have going into the program blind without having worked in a library. But, I mean, it's like, you know, like, to me, like, cataloging and stuff, that's, like, basic stuff. Like, I can probably recite Dewey Decimal numbers off the top of my head. Like, people will come up to me, and they will actually ask me, like, you know, where's the gardening books? Oh, 635. And they look at me like, whoa. And they're like, oh, where's the home decoration books? And I go, 747. Where's the comic books? 741.5. Tattoo art? I don't know that it would actually be anywhere. Not that I know of. Like, I would have to be like the knitting books are all 746. It would probably be in the 700s. Tattoo art's gonna be in the 700s. Like, if it's tattoo art is like a practice, it might be in the 600s with like the biological science. But like, tattoo art is like an art form, it might be in like the 50s or something. The 750s. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of guessing here. I mean, I don't have a DDC index in front of me, because I'm not that big of a nerd yet. And even then, I couldn't carry around the whole LC subject headings list, the whole LC indexing, because they have like, I worked with them at the library, the university I went to, University of Kentucky, and like, they had every subject, like I had all the classification catalogs, like all, like you had all the letters for LC. And they had, like, it is just, like, a shelf, a full, huge rack of nothing but them. And we had multiple copies of each from, like, older editions of them. But it was just, like, it was all it was. Like, a shelf and a half. Just for LC. And there's a lot. LC's Library of Congress classification. Yeah. That, you should know that.
I should know more about it because now that I have the graphic novel internship, I've I had to apply for the Library of Congress information stuff. So.
Yeah, like LC. I've not worked so much in LC, and that's a much better classification system than Dewey Decimal. Everybody thinks this because Dewey Decimal is very, very kind of 19th century. This is a random side tangent, but the first thing, one of the first things I noticed that was just kind of weird and off-putting, like I was shelving like in the 200s one day, and I realized I looked at them. I'm like, wait a second, 200s is for the religion section, right? It's all about the religion section. The 200s to the 289s. All of that is Christianity. 290, 299, everything else. Yes, no, just 10 numbers. 290 to 299. That is every other religion ever. Like, so there's all this depth in like the Christian religion, like everything else. It was just like, that's so 19th century of Dewey. I mean, it was just like, I mean, you know, it's an important milestone to have the classification system, but it's just like, that's a really big dating there. I mean, LC numbers can get real out of hand sometimes. Like, I've had people confuse GRE scores with LC numbers because they look just like it. Yeah, they do. They actually do. One of my friends, he's a grad student right now. He's getting a PhD in literature. And he just, like, he was looking at, like, his grad score, and he was like, what LC book is this? Where do I find this? And he couldn't find it because it was his GRE score. But, like, Dewey Decimal is, it's very limited in what it does. Like, it's not as specific. Like, it is a very good guide, which you want to have a guide, which is what the foundation of information architecture and organization is. But but Dewey Decimal's, just, for this day and age now, for nowadays, it's just too vague. Like, we have, like, there were, in the gardening section, there were literally, like, decimal, but after the decimal point, there will be, like, 5 or 6 or 7 numbers. Sometimes, like, depending on the specific, like, you know, if it's like about a specific kind of rose, it will have this insane long string of just numbers, and it's just like, and then a cutter number, and then a date, and I'm just like, no, I can't do that.
Okay, so getting back to the topic at hand, I mean, not Moe, but this is your first convention, which seems mind blowing.
It is kind of mind blowing for me because this is actually my first time in New York. Period. Yeah. Well, I've been here actually when I was 4. To visit my grandfather when he lived in Queens. We think Queens. I'm not for sure. I can't remember. But he was in Queens. And like we rode the plane up here. I took Amtrak this time because it was like I felt, I don't know, suicidal or something. But at least it was not as bad as the one behind me who was riding from Dallas to Chicago and then from Chicago to Philadelphia. That was horrible. By the time she got to Philadelphia, she was like, thank God. I want to get off. I was like, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's what she did.
What are your impressions?
There's a lot of people. I'm not used to that sometimes. Because I'm not from a big city. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, which is like a big city. All the benefits of a big city with the small town feel.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's real nice. You've been there. It's a real nice city. It's a very nice city. We're having the World Equestrian Games.
So what did you think when you walked into the door? Like, you arrived on Friday. And you walk into the Javits Center, and then you see this massive crowd of cosplayers and everyone. What did you think?
Well, I had known what to expect somewhat from pictures, right, from other cons. But like I came in very early to get the Tamino tickets, and I already got my Tamino thing signed. I got a copy of my Turn A Gundam OST, third OST. Like inside the third OST, there's this big spread of every character. Like, many characters appearing multiple times in different outfits. Yeah, like, Loran was on there 4 times. Like, he was there when he had first arrived on Earth. He was there when he was, like, the chauffeur. He was there when he was there in his more casual clothes after post-chauffeur. I couldn't find... He was there as Laura Rolla. Like, he was there escorting Gwyn Lineford. Like, and it was just like, where's pilot suit, Loran? I was like, I can't find him, I can't find him. And to me, I was very happy to see it. Like, he was just like... And he just looked at it, and he looked at it fondly for a moment, and then he signed it and gave me the happy hair haro he gave everybody else. I love the happy haro. My favorite part. I'm pointing the question. Yes, I know I'm pointing the question.
Because for me, like, the first time I walked into Otakon, I was sort of like, I belong here. Like, it's a lot of people, but I felt like, I didn't feel like such a freak.
I can feel like a freak in a room with just myself. Like, nothing will be in there. I could just be sitting in a blank, empty closet, and I'll be like, I feel ostracized from myself. So this is not an unusual feeling to, like, you know, not feel belonging anywhere else. So it's really hard for that for me. I don't know why. Maybe I over-accentuate how much different I think I am, how much I am. Or maybe I just freak Noah out too much. Or, like, I had been to several clubs before, like, sometimes, like, very, very infrequently. Like, I did not interact much with anime clubs, like, the university one. Like, I've been there, actually, been to several incarnations of it. The first one that I went to wound up collapsing in some kind of horrible fit that nobody really knows what happened. Like, all we know is that when the new one formed up, when they went to other people to talk, other places around town to, like, talk about that, they were like, are you from that club? They were like, no, we're totally different. They disbanded that one. Like, are you sure you're from that? You need to get proof that you are not this club, because apparently they were so horrible. Like, it was just like, I don't know what it, I don't know what they did. They must have just been a bunch of jerks. I don't know.
That happened. There was a very bad president of NYU Anime Club, and for many years afterwards, any sci-fi club in the city trying to hold an event was damned, where they're like, you're not associated with that club, are you?
Yeah, I was the other sci-fi club, and it wasn't the NYU Anime Club. It was just the sci-fi club.
Yeah, just sci-fi. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say
Yeah, that's all right, whatever. But yes, then whenever we tried to call vendors to take part in a convention, they were like, no, we did that once. We did that once with NYU. Never again.
Wait, what's his name? The center?
Neil Gaiman?
Yeah, like he even pissed off Neil Gaiman, who by all means is supposed to be a nice guy. And Neil Gaiman was just like, never again. Like, that's really wrong.
Well, Neil Gaiman was the guy who had to tell himself not to curse at the children's librarians who were calling him to inform him he won the Newbery. I liked that. Like, he hung up and then he was swearing. Like, just to hide. And then he called his agent, and he said, the first thing she said was, did you swear? He goes, no. Good. Then he swears on Twitter about it. And then it's like, okay. Actually, there's studies that say that most teenagers are actually not on Twitter. Like, there's not many, like, most people who are on Twitter these days are either, like, in their 30s or higher. Or, like, I mean, there are people who are on Twitter who are not, like, who are, like, teenagers and, like, 20-somethings. I'm 20-something. I'm on Twitter. I just don't think they see the need of it. Like, they have Facebook and MySpace and my book and FaceSpace and who knows what else. FaceSpace, I actually refer to Facebook as Kauhon. Kauhon. Japanese for literally translating Facebook to Japanese is Kauhon. Like, they actually write it Facebook, but I was just like, Kauhon sounds so much better. Kau, face, hon, book. It's a bad joke. Don't feel bad. It's a bad joke. But the big major features I've done were both the Aria article and the Rosen Maiden article, which I haven't gotten a big article after that. But there's not much coming out that I can apparently attack, because I get some of the things very rarely, it seems.
But I mean, there are cons in Kentucky. You just haven't gone to any.
Yeah, I've never been to a convention, and a lot of that is because I just don't feel comfortable sometimes in, like, large crowd situations. Like, I don't think it's, I don't know what the word is. I don't think it's agoraphobia. Is it agoraphobia? Acrophobia. Acrophobia. Acrophobia might be crowds. I don't know. Crowdophobia. I mean, there's all kinds of, there's triskaidekaphobia, which is fear of the number 13. I love that one. It's like triskaidekaphobia. It's like, why would somebody call it triskaidekaphobia? But they do. But
it is really difficult to, like, because I'm from Michigan, like, from the Midwest. So when I first moved here, I really wasn't used to crowded streets all the time. And eventually I got used to it. But you chose to come to New York Anime Festival first, despite your fear of crowds. I mean, then you have to go through times, like, you have to go past Penn Station, which is, like, really crowded, and then come here. But now that I've been to Tokyo, I feel very differently about what a crowded train station is.
I mean, I'm better about that now. Like, I mean, there's periods of time where it's just like, too much overexposure to crowds, I think, burns everybody out. Like, it's like sensory overload kind of thing. It's like, every so often you just have to, like, go out and sit and do something very quiet that's like, don't talk to me. Like, I did this one because the Reverse Thieves, Hisui and Arataki, they invited me over here. Like, you know, yeah, they invited me over. It was like, I think actually it was Arataki, like, you're gonna come here, I'm gonna kill you. No, it was like, she was like, they were going to go, I was going to go to Otakon, and I was like, well, I was like, that's in July, I'll have loans starting to come due about then, from student loans, that I won't be able to defer until later, so it's like, I might want to risk that right then, so I declined that one, but after that, it was like, Narutaki says you're going to, Hisui tells me, he says you're going to go to NYAF, or else, and I was like, I'll think about it. really seriously.
So is it because you guys follow each other on Twitter and read the blogs and all that stuff that they were like...
Yeah, like they invited me to come because I've known Carl, who's friends with them, and it's like I've known him for years and years and years. So it's like there's that, and then once I got on Twitter, we start talking there, and so it goes on from there, and so therefore I'm like invited over here to join like the New York anime crowd with all the cool people who aren't me.
Kind of so you can meet your online friends, which is increasingly becoming another reason why I go to conventions. Like in the beginning it wasn't, and I kind of started then going with people I knew from real life, but now more and more lately it's like a con is a chance to see other podcasters and people who I don't normally see and people from other places. It's strange kind of like morphing of purpose of what. But yeah, you said you knew Carl from like the Something Awful forums, which Daryl also used to hang out on.
Yeah. I know him more from like offshoots of the Something Awful forums, more or less. I've gone away from SA for a very long time for very odd reasons that I won't go into here right yet. I know what happened was that like he would just start talking to me, and like this was like years and years and years ago, and it was like he would always like message me right before I went to bed. And this is actually pretty funny because he would always message me right before bed with like a crazy artistic philosophical question. It would be like 1 a.m. and I'd be like, oh, I need to go to bed. And he'd message me like, so what makes anime anime? And I would be like, I don't know. I want to go to bed. So we wound up having a huge, long debate over art at 1 a.m. in the morning. And I'm like, I have to go to bed. And it's like, I am just so happy he actually put up with some of the things. I was like, so, no, I have to go to bed. Stop. Shut up. Be quiet. Go to bed. I need to go to bed. It was just... So I'm just very, very happy he actually managed to live through all of that.
Yeah, I didn't know, but like, we met Carl at maybe New York Comic Con, or I think it was like a couple years ago, because I started reading his blog, and when I realized that he had studied animation in Japan, I was like, wow, holy crap, like that's really amazing that he went to learn anime there. Like, with, I thought that was really interesting, and then I got him that internship. And
Yeah. I know that the first time that he had actually gone out to meet you was that you thought he was a girl. That was he actually told me that, like, Aaron, he's like, Aaron Finnegan thinks I'm a girl, and I was like, you're not a girl, you're so not a girl, and you meet him up and you do the interview, and I listened to that, and it was, he talks about Zambot 3 and all that. Everybody watch Zambot 3. I'm plugging it for him again. I haven't watched it myself, but I have it on good authority. It's really good, so just watch it. He'll be happy about that. He started his blog. Like, this is how it kind of happened. He says, "I'm going to start a blog." It just came out of the blue one day. I'm like, "Okay, I'll start one too." Yeah, it kind of what happened. Like, I had tried before and it never worked out, but I never found something. And this time I was like, "I'm going to do it once a day, every day, always." Minimum. I set myself a minimum workout of 300 words, and I just did it. And like after a time of doing that, you start to get a pattern of what you do and how you do it. And like I started going down more towards like critical analysis, even just like mostly this like theme dissection is usually what I wind up doing, because I don't know. I don't even have a literature degree. I have a history degree. It's like I don't even know what I do. I can't even explain what it is I do. I sit down, words fall out, people read them, and I'm like, why'd you read them? There have been like half the time my mouse will hover over the publish button. I'll be like, do I really want to press this button? Like, I'm sure this sucks. I'm sure I'm totally, completely, stupendously, stupidly wrong. Everybody will hate this. And every time I think this, I press that button. Oh my god, this is an awesome article. And I'm just like, stop.
What's your focus? Your focus in history?
I didn't have a focus in history so much. The focus that I wound up having, I didn't have a declared focus. Like, I was just an undergrad history degree. But I wound up getting a focus actually kind of in like classical, actually early Christian studies is what happening. Because I wound up doing my senior thesis on the Gospels.
Are you a shameless otaku who sits at home watching Japanese cartoons all day? Do you find yourself choosing Azeroth over the real world? Do you want to make super happy Moe-chan your waifu? If yes, then please talk to your doctor about Anigamers. With our patented combination of blogging, podcasting, and incoherent rambling, we can teach you the skills to be a better otaku. Anigamers can be found at www.anigamers.com, and you can also subscribe to our podcast through your favorite feed catcher at feeds.feedburner.com/anigamerspodcast, or find us in the iTunes store. Side effects may include news, reviews, interviews, debates, and discussion about anime, manga, and games, both old and new. In some rare cases, patients may experience uncontrollable laughter, crippling depression, or obnoxious levels of elitism.
No, this stuff is fun. No, I don't want to talk about missing, actually. It's, No, I'm missing this book that, light novel, that two novellas.
By the author of Kamikaze Girls, and Viz released a two-book set, like Missin' 1 and Missin' 2, but Missin' is like the name of a rock star in the book. But anyway, that's what I've been reading lately. But it's kind of novellas, like it starts off with a short story about something else, and then another short story.
I guess we can wrap it up. I mean, I don't know how much.
I just want to say, just so that it's on the record and for everybody else, I don't think it's humanly possible to talk about Moe in any capacity and not sound horrifically creepy. Just so we are all aware of this. Since Noah's so worried about it.
I'm glad. Well, no. See, here's the problem is that I don't mind. Like, that's fine. In my mind, it's better to cop to it and discuss it than dance around it.
I mean, the thing I dance around is, like, I just don't know myself. Like, it's kind of like, it's wavy. Like, I know it exists. It's there. I don't know what everybody means by it, is the thing. It's like, I don't like going too much in detail. But, it's just, like, if I hit, like, what are some series that you consider Moe in particular? Like, I can make it.
Yeah, Air, Sola, that EF one, Clannad. I don't know, Penny Pony Dash might just be more comedy than Moe, but yeah, something like that.
I mean, Air EF, Sola, those Air, Sola, and EF are all, like, from the visual novel industry, and, like, you know, that can range from basically from being kind of, like, completely clean to being, oh my god. There's different things at work in each of them. Like, I mean, Air's key, I don't know who did Sola, like, that was actually an original, like, anime. Like, actually, it was originally a drama CD that turned to an anime later, and I've seen that, and I wasn't too keen on that one in particular. Like, I didn't even like Air that much. I don't know. I think it was, I don't know. Like, I've not finished that one either. EF, especially, I've only seen the first EF, The Tale of Memories, and that one's really good. I actually, like, it's actually, like, really, really well done. There's a certain kind of different feel to it. Like, it's done by Shaft. Like, it is done by Onumu Shin, I think, who's, like, understudy of, like, Shinbo in that particular one. If you watch it, it's all full of, like, crazy camera angles. Like, they do weird things. There's all kinds of good execution of, like, you know, dramatic moments and stuff. It's really well done. Like, why do you consider it Moe is kind of the next question there.
Well, I think if we're going to put it in in a certain kind of broad term, like, so I've never actually watched EF. I don't really know that much about it, but we were handed a bookmark promoting it when we were at Comic Market, at Comic-Con. And what I know about Moe, or what I think of as Moe shows, when, like, from this bookmark, I could kind of tell, like, oh, this is, you know, it's really cute art, this cute girl, but I know intrinsically it's not for me. It's not my, it's a demographic work that I'm not interested in. And I know that's not all demographics I'm not interested in are Moe, but it's definitely not aimed at me as a consumer.
The thing with EF, I watched this, like, a couple years ago, and like I said, I really liked it, so I'm probably really biased, but it's not cute. And, like, to me, what would, according to the definition of Moe that I would use to describe what most people would refer to as Moe, that would be, like, Lucky Star. Like, Lucky Star, like, that's more, like, Moe as I consider, if I'm going to have to assign a definition to it according to what I consider to be the way most Americans use it, that would be, like, Lucky Star. Like, it was just something where it's just where it's cute girls being cute. They're being silly sometimes, mostly being silly sometimes. I mean, EF is like, it's like a character drama almost. I mean, you know, there are light moments in it, but it's just really kind of just emotionally. Like, I mean, Minori, the company that did it, they actually have Makoto Shinkai. It has Makoto Shinkai. Makoto Shinkai is directing. Does like artwork. He does the opening sequences for all the Minori. He did the opening sequences for the EF game, like both the EF games. And if you are actually playing it, if you're watching like EF, you can tell there's a little bit of a similarity between Shinkai's, you know, style, and everybody likes Shinkai because he's like all crazy, you know, visuals. Like, but he does very much kind of like he's very much in the mode that like EF is in. Like, Minori is a very good match for him in terms of like the mode they do.
Which is why I don't like that director very much either. Like, that's the other thing. He's like, the things he's interested in doing really well in his movies are not things I'm that interested in watching. Like, he does very, very beautiful backgrounds. But I think that, like, if you're looking at the background in a movie, it's boring. Like, you shouldn't have time to look at the background. There should be so much going on. It's great that there's a wonderful background. And I think, like, if you look at the backgrounds in something like Spirited Away, it's wonderful that there's so much, like, ridiculous CG wallpaper. But if you have time to look at the background, the plot's too slow for me. Like, I respect the artistic merit, but his romances just don't appeal to me at all.
Well, they're also not very happy, generally speaking. Nostalgia. And you don't tend I don't know. I think I draw a distinction between Voices of a Distant Star and everything else, because I like that a lot. It does have space in it, but it's also a good science fiction story.
Yeah, it is.
And deals with technological themes in an interesting way.
5 millimeters per second.
Less so.
The Place Promised in Our Early Days.
Less so. And The Place Promised to Us in Our Early Days starts out really very well, I think. It gets very bad very quickly, I think.
Did either of you watch Cinco Roll last night?
I saw the trailer for it, and I think it's something I would definitely watch, but I just didn't stick around late enough to see it.
Which is this?
The one with the one where I said there's the giant monster sitting on the building.
Oh. Yeah, okay. So the one that you told me about. All right. No, we didn't see it.
Yeah, Cinco Roll is another one of those like independently produced kind of thing. It's almost like a Dojin work. Like, they got Supercell on it and everything. Like, Supercell is a Dojin music group. I like Dojin music a lot, and there's a lot of like real creative like music stuff going on there. Like Akiko Shikata's in there. Like, this is a side note here, you know, but Akiko Shikata's in there. Like, she does like kind of weird mix ups of like she like combines like folk traditions, folk music traditions with like classical composition kind of styles with like thing, and it's like people compared to Inya, I think, sometimes. But she does the Umineko opening for the TV and also the game, the first four episodes of the game. So it's like she does those, that's the kind of song she does. She's also worked on the Artoneleko games, which also get considered to be moe in some cases, but you know, they're Gust games. Like, Cinco Roll is kind of similar to that. Like, if you watch it, it's kind of similar like Voices of a Distant Star. Like, just in terms of like the pacing, how it's presented. Like, it's another half hour, like independently produced, like one person does it kind of thing. But like, I've now lost my train of thought.
derailed it. Oh yeah, we were talking about that. But which is the show where it's there's the girl who seems like she's retarded and she really likes eating the Sayuki fish?
That's Canon.
Yeah, okay.
That's Ayu from Canon. Okay, I liked Ayu. Because she was ridiculously cute. Like, I mean, before I never watched the Toei canon. Like, Toei did the first canon one. When Kyoto Animation remade it, I watched it at that point in time, and it was just like, I just remember watching the first episode, and here's Ayu, and she's just spinning around for no pain. Like, I think, what's his name? I can't remember the name, apparently, which is probably a good point to bring up at some point in time elsewhere. But, she just has her spin around in a circle, like, looking for the wings in her backpack, which are there, which she doesn't know they're on there because they're on her back, so she spins around looking for her back, which I thought was cute, but I don't necessarily think I would really call, like, it, I mean, it's all vague. I can't remember what happened there. Like, I mean, you know, Canon is like, when Key did Canon, like, in the 1999, like, that was, like, the first, like, big thing, like, in the Nakige kind of thing, like, the crying game kind of thing. That was the first big, like, moment in, like the, after To Heart, which was also like very successful as an anime. Canon was the one that actually did something, like got a whole bunch of people galvanized towards one particular thing. I think the difference going back to like Shinkai and like EF and stuff like that. I read a lot of books for one thing, and I'm not trying to necessarily say that you don't. That I read a lot of fiction books. Like, I'm a very fiction-oriented person. I tend to have trouble not liking a story. Like, this is something that's really kind of weird about me, because it's like, I have trouble, like, I don't not like a lot of things, if that makes any sense. I don't, the way I see it is, like, I kind of think it's like a disservice to, like, it's a disservice to say something is bad. You can not like something, I think, but to say something is bad is like a disservice to me, to the story itself, to the creation of the story. You can cut this out of there. Like, for me, it's like, I don't think how to explain it. I like the romance stories kind of thing. I don't know why. I always feel somehow like I'm supposed to. I was a teenage girl. I never was. People have mistaken me for a girl frequently based on my taste. Sometimes it's just like they don't. You're a girl, and so it's like, no, I'm a guy. People have mistaken.
No, I thought Carl was. I don't know, because I think it's just because when we were fans of Genshiken, like Alice and I were big fans of Genshiken. Yeah. I thought mostly girls liked Ogoe, which Carl said is the opposite, especially in Japan, where there are tons and tons of guys. But I did way too... Like, I do like romance as a anime genre. I made it all the way to the end of Onaga Twins, I would like to point out, which is not normally the sort of show I would watch. But I really want to know. It has that one dramatic tension, which is which girl is this guy's sister and which girl could be his girlfriend, which is kind of gross. But at the same time, I really want to know which girl is his sister.
I actually didn't actually watch much of Onegai Twins because I think I made it through Onegai Teacher. Did you watch Onegai Teacher?
No.
Okay. Because both...
She's like an alien.
Right. She's an alien? Yeah, she was an alien. Yeah, that's what it was. But, I didn't make... I don't think... Many people didn't even like Twins when it actually came out. Like, I mean, people, like, not liking it. Like, very vociferously not liking it when it came out. I don't know. But I know the old joke for name for it was Onegai Twincest. Everybody likes the term twincest. Like, that was that's definitely, like, more in... See, this is where you get that nebulous meaning thing, because it's, like... Because I think when it comes down to it, like, a lot of people like really different kinds of anime series. Like, I mean, you know, and I think really what's going on now, in some way, is, like, there is, like, a shift in how things are done. And, I mean, I don't mean to say this is a bad thing or it's a good thing, necessarily. It's just a thing that's happening. This is coinciding with like market collapses, like market shrinkage and stuff. And I think that is a secondary tangential problem. Like when I'm looking at the actual things that are being produced, there are things that are coming out that are really, very good. Maybe it's just because I think this way. I don't know if anyone, I don't know. Like Toradora is pretty good. I mean, you know, for recent things going, like I'm kind of surprised nobody picked up on that for like, you know, digital distribution early on, because it's like, that was humongous. Like if that had been picked up, somebody would have made a lot of money off of that. Like, I mean, just at least a lot of publicity from it, I think.
Yeah, I think it would get a lot of news, but I think that Toradora is the kind of series that people really heavily pirate, and if you had DVDs of it, people wouldn't really buy it. But if you showed it on Crunchyroll or something, it could be very successful.
That's what I was thinking, put it on Crunchyroll is what I was saying. I mean, I was kind of surprised it wasn't on, because, like, before, when it was being announced, I was like, oh my god, this is, like, one of the most popular light novel series in Japan right now. They were going, and it was just like when it came out, like it's a lot different. It's a lot different because it's not what you would expect from something like that. Like you would expect it to be like, you know, kind of like by the time did you watch the whole thing? Did you watch? But like by the time it gets to the end, like it's actually gotten to be like kind of a heavy kind of melodrama kind of thing. Some people might be getting tired of like the kind of melodrama that's going on there. I'm just trying to find ways to express this that are just weird, because some of it's just tied up to how like I read stories and watch things. Because like I watch anime like I read a book. Like it's very quiet, very just kind of like, you know, get everything out of the way, kind of, you know, focus on the story. Like I'm a more narrative oriented person too. I mean a lot of people are, I think. I just feel weird all the time because it's like I like these things and then I turn around and like, you know, we'll watch Shin Mazinger Z, and it's like nothing really changes. And for me, it's like it's the same thing. It's like, you know, oh, there's some thigh highs. Oh, there's some rocket punches. Oh, there's some rocket punch. There's some Mazinger Z with thigh highs throwing rocket punches at Baron Ashura, who's actually a combination of Yui and Ui from K-On. That was a great picture. Have you seen that picture? That's a great picture. It's hilarious. I loved it. They're like sisters, and there's a picture I kind of picked up where they were like combined together, like in the Baron Ashura outfit and everything, just combined. It was great. I think actually that Gatai, the subgroup for Shin Mazinger Z right now, they actually put that at the end of one of their episodes, and I think they played like the K-On opening theme or some like crazy. I don't know what they played there. I'll stop then for right now. I don't think you have enough.